I got one thing to say.
You crazy son of a bitch, you're dead.
Guys, it happened! Everything we've talked about, everything we've manifested, we have put it out to the universe, and we are here today.
I think this is our biggest Simply Amazing manifestation. When is it our first one? I don't remember how many we've had because we're so good, but like, this is really cause for celebration.
It's very clearly not our first one because we've had more. I mean, because, you know, but I don't remember what our other ones are, but we have had, no, we manifested the beard back. Didn't we manifest the beard back?
I think so. I don't know if we actually talked about that, though. I know the Sherlock Holmes and
yes, we did
Irene thing, you know.
That we did manifest. But anyway, welcome back, everybody, to Simply Amazing, the Nightcrawler podcast, where we discuss Nightcrawler, all Nightcrawler things all the time. And we got a special episode coming out today, super early, because ladies and gentlemen, everybody involved, everybody listening, it has happened. The Draco has been retconned. Kurt has good.
Listen, I'm not a fan of burning books. I feel like burning any book, even a quote bad one, is like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. But I'm all about throw the bonfires, throw your copies of the Draco in it. I have considered doing it myself. Again, I just don't like to burn any books. But we have one, is the death of the Draco.
Listen, winter is here and y'all might be cold. Utility prices are through the roof. So you got to burn a book, burn the Draco, you know, keep yourself warm.
If you need to, yeah, absolutely. That should be your first choice at this point. Absolutely.
All right, but we're not here to talk about the Draco. We are here to talk about X-Men Blue Origins number one, which I have a question about that. Why is it a number one when there's no other issues coming out? But whatever.
Because they have to number it. They have to number everything, remember?
Yeah, it's capitalism.
And if you read the synopsis for this, they're like a collector's item in the making. So they are... Again, this was very intentional, them, one, making this a one-shot, two, doing this big reveal, and three, they're hoping to capitalize on it financially, for sure.
I'm gonna say, like, that is such 90s vibes. Like, the 90s was all about, like, buy this comic book, and you will put your kids through college. And No, it doesn't work that way anymore. But anyway, I mean, maybe it will be worth something one day, because it, like, it's a very queer issue. But I don't see that.
Yeah. I'm not sure to talk about this. The first thing I want to say before we even get further into issue, cause clearly you can tell we're happy about this, is that I have seen a lot of reaction state, and we're going to get into some of you guys's as well that shared them on Twitter, per tweet. And I've gathered that there's a lot of celebratory vibes, and then after that, there's a lot of thoughtful, mixed feelings that kick in, right? So I just want to say, number one, we're getting the celebratory feelings out first, and I think it's important that even if we have these mixed thoughts and there are things that could be better about this, which I think there definitely are plenty of things that could be much better about this, we should embrace the celebration that we do have a win. While then, after we get done celebrating over the next week or two, or however long we decide to celebrate, then we're like, yeah, all right. So what are the next things we want to see forward? But I am just super wanting to embrace the fact that we did get this huge win. Marvel Editorial got their heads out of their asses finally. So shout out to Marvel Editorial today for getting their heads simply out of their asses.
There we go. They are simply amazing for this issue and this issue alone. They've got, I've seen a lot of issues. Where's Nocturne? But you know what? Let's just talk about this issue, because first of all, I want to say one thing. This is the second time that Marvel has deliberately misled us with the previews, because the preview that came out is in no way at all what the issue actually is. And in fact, it's like piecemeal. It's like this page from over here and this page from here. And so, yeah, but again, reading the issue, like if they had put a real preview in, number one, it's not like a ton, like it. The first couple issues, the first couple pages are just like kind of rehashing.
They're fucking annoying. I'm going to be real with you. Like when this starts off with the little
the BAMF.
Greek, God, Banff. One, this Banff sucks. This is the worst Banff I've ever seen in my life.
He's no pickles. He is no pickles.
Garbage this one is. So we don't want this guy back. Or if he comes back, he needs to be written differently because it's crap. But yeah, the first 3 pages, I was like, if I'm supposed to be amazed by this, I'm not thrilled. So it was not a good start, but we hung in there. I hung in there for sure.
So one thing I want to say, this is kind of funny because we came off last week, or not even last week, like yesterday, or no, when was it? It was a couple days ago, whatever, when we posted the German one. And we talked about accents and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I actually like Kurt's accent and I enjoy it. Here's the thing. I do not like when Cy Spurrier writes accents. I feel like he's super heavy-handed with them in a very, very stereotypical way. Now, he's British. So, like, I gave him a pass with Mother Righteous's. With Mother Righteous because he's British and he's writing her as British and maybe he just wants them to understand that she's British, which again, I don't understand why she's British because like, all right, whatever. She's in Essex. So whatever. She's British. Okay, fine. But this dance
is Nathaniel like a Brooklyn... British. Hold on. Mr. Sinister does have a British accent. Does he? Did I miss something for like all of my life?
Well, I feel like Mr. Sinister has been around so long that his accent's just like evened out, but like he definitely was in England. I mean, maybe I'm remembering wrong. I'm thinking about the Gambit series when they go back in time to Mr. Sinister and I feel like they went to London, but whatever. That's all besides the point. But yeah, this Banff has like a Brooklyn accent or something, which...
All right. Business time. What the fuck?
Like, I can't even figure out. Like, and that's the thing that I'm super confused about is like, I don't understand where did this Banff get this accent? Like, I assume that next issue of Uncanny Spider-Man, we're going to have some kind of reveal as to what the fuck the Banff actually is. Because he kind of insinuates that there's a secret behind him. But at the same time, it's like he even calls himself like the Greek Chorus. Like he's the one who's kind of giving the backstory and he's telling
he's the narrator of the issue, essentially.
But he doesn't stick around for very long, which I'm quite happy with.
Amen.
But essentially, all we have in the first couple issues or the first couple pages is just a rehash of what happened at the Hellfire Gala. You know, Xavier and Mystique go up against each other. Mystique's like starts bleeding from her face. And then she runs off to get on a boat to go to Krakoa, which assumingly is she's going to go straight to New York. And now we're back in the present. And she's like still running from Kurt being like, leave me alone.
Where's my baby? And we're all still like, what the fuck? This is a Mystique.
Exactly. So I want to point out that there were other writers on this. Cy Spurrier was on this, but let me open this up so I can see it. But he also had William Santos, I think, helping him out with that.
Yeah, there's a couple. There were like, I think at least two other people. Where the hell is the credits page?
It's like in the middle of the first couple
of course it is. God, I see that annoys me. I'm like, I get that they like to try and be fancy and be clever and put it annoys me. Yes, I Spurrier Rhodes, Wilton Santos, and then also
Marcus Toe. Those are the artists, but I thought I remember. Oh, special
there was thanks. Someone else credited. Yeah, special thanks
to Charlie Jane Anders and Steve Fox. Like they definitely, I mean, clearly helped him flesh some stuff out. But moving on, I mean, they're having their little interaction. She wants to kill him. She's got his gun to his head. And he's like, you know, you were masquerading as the wife of Christian Wagner. And then she starts having, like, going back in time and, like, having flashbacks to when she was the Count's wife. And here's the thing. It's almost like they could, like, Cy, it's almost like Cy could, like, he, as much shit as we've given him for how we haven't loved everything he's done with Nightcrawler, he really hit every point. Like there's very little dangling threads in this. And for
sorry, I mean, cut you off. I was just like, there's already one I thought of with when she first starts talking. There's confusion in some of the writing with the backstory, but I agree that they pretty much at least he and everybody else involved in writing this and assisting and, you know, giving advice, they definitely made an attempt to address every single question we could have. I'm going to say that. They made the attempt, and they were solid attempts.
Yeah.
Not perfect to me, but they're solid attempts.
Oh, totally. I mean, like, for me, going into this, it was like, if they're going to do what they're going to do, like, there are some serious questions I have. Like, number one, you know, because we knew that this whole Baron Christian Wagner was going to be a part of it from the preview. So it's like, so number one, why is Mystique living with him? And like, what's that about? Like, where's Destiny? Number two, like, why would Mystique get rid of a child that Destiny bore if like, that's the love of her life? But like, all of these are answered and they're answered very satisfactorily. And I'm going to, okay, spoiler alert. I'm going to say this. I've been saying this on Discord all day. Destiny does not come off good in this issue. Destiny is the villain of this issue. That's my take.
Well, yes. I feel like there's so many things just in what you said to break down because, yes. So the first thing here, so I feel like we should, rather than go page by page, because otherwise we're going to get tangled in our talking about all these different things because this, again, this can be very confusing. The first element is Azazel. Where the hell does he fit into this anymore? How is he involved with Raven if he is not going to be Kurt's biological father? One thing I'm confused about that I didn't think about when I first read this issue, because to be fair, when I first read this issue, I was just thrilled. I wasn't looking for anything to dislike. I was just like, oh my God, finally, I'm seeing what I want to see, right? Which we're going to get to that. But they address Azazel first. And so originally she tells Kurt that Azazel, she thought she was in love with him. She pictured herself a Munich queen with a darkling prince upon my knee. But my confusion now, after thinking about this, is a couple pages later, she again talks about Azazel and she says, oh, he could barely wait to reveal himself like a teenager with a tattoo. Azazel, the diabolic, commander of the Hellas Legions. Azazel, a lecherous old narcissist cosplaying as a demon. I grew bored of him even faster than my insipid flat skin of a husband. So how does she go from saying she was in love with this guy to now throwing him in the dirt and saying she threw him in the dirt quickly, which is the right thing in my, and that's in Mystique's character. But where, why is it I thought I was in love with him? That shouldn't be there. What the fuck is that?
So the only thing I can think of there, and I agree with you, that was definitely something that I was like, huh, but I enjoyed so much of the rest of the issue that I was willing to kind of like, and I just don't give a shit about Azazel. So it's like, oh, this fucks with Azazel's canon. Okay, I don't care. Like, who cares? So
yeah.
But so yeah, that was definitely like a thing that kind of piqued me a bit, but at the same time, I think that because in the Draco, she goes in so hard about how much she loves Azazel. So maybe I have a feeling that Sai really was like, I'm going to button up every goddamn thing I can pot. Like, he read the Draco several fucking times before he wrote this. So I think that he was like, I have to address that she said she loved him. I think he could have just left it out. But again, I think that he's just really trying to honor the source material and take it. Like, he's trying to honor the source material. He's not trying to just completely destroy the Draco and like pretend like it never existed. He's trying to take it to a better place, I guess. So
yeah, which to be fair, he does that in a lot of other ways, but that's my confusion. You need to pick a lane at that point. I'm all about joking that both the answer, but here it's like, she can't have been in love with him and seen this big future with him and then also say, actually, fuck that guy. I grew bored of him quickly. Like, it's one or the other. That's not a gray area that makes sense for human emotions to me. I don't
Here's the thing. I might disagree with you just a bit because Mystique is a bit of a chaotic character. And so like, she could be one of those people who like falls in love really quickly and then falls out of love really quickly.
And then why wasn't that written that way? Why didn't she say, yeah, I thought I was in love with him at first, but then eventually it hit me and I grew bored of him. It's poor writing on this part. That's poor writing to me.
Agreed.
But so, I got you. That's fair.
So we're not going to go through page by page, but basically what ends up happening next is like Kurt hands her the Hope Sword, and the Hope Sword basically opens the floodgate of all of her memories, and she now remembers everything exactly as it happened, rather than like little shards of whatever that she has that she's been dealing with. And
yeah, and then I actually really like this, and I know some people may not because of how our especially American society is and things like that, but I think it makes sense for Destiny and Mystique in terms of the fact that Mystique basically talks about how they basically are polyamorous, for lack of a better word. She doesn't use that word, but she's basically like, yeah, you know, we can't coexist without passion becoming pain, even though we adore someone so completely. To adore someone so completely, we adore each other that way. So I think it made sense that they had this agreement that, yeah, we could take other lovers and things like that as needed, as long as, in the end, it benefited us together. Meaning there was a reason you could justify it for, rather than you're actually trying to deceive or replace your partner, which, as fucked as that might sound to a lot of people, that makes sense to me, especially with the fact that they've lived how long in each other's presence? It.
Eventually,
that's a long fucking time.
Yeah, eventually you run out of positions and you're just like, all right, let's try something else. I don't know. But sorry about that. But basically, the whole thing. So actually, when I was thinking about the idea of Destiny and Mystique, you know, how would they make it work with them and Christian Wagner? Like, what makes it work is exactly what Cy Spurrier did. She goes and marries him, and then she brings her in as the maid. And he is like such a misogynist asshole who doesn't care about his wife, you know, that he doesn't even notice that she's fucking the maid for a while. It takes a while for him to notice anything.
Yeah. He's fucking stupid. And he is honestly, he can kick bricks.
Yeah. Well, he's dead. So RIP.
rest in peace, says, not peace, sir.
Exactly. And it turns out that like Irene was kind of pushing Raven to have a relationship with Azazel, and we'll find out about that in a minute.
Yeah, but it's funny though, because she's pushing that kind of in a similar time frame to when she has this conversation with Raven that we do see, mm-hmm. which is where she tells Raven she wants a family. And one thing that did make me kind of sad for Raven's character, and I actually think works for Mystique's character, is the fact that she says there were other pregnancies, other births before and after, accidents, inconveniences, harsh word, but fits for Mystique. Tragedies upon arrival, like Graydon, you know, stillbirths and things like that. Yeah, and so I'm like, that completely makes sense, because again, the thing about Mystique is we have no idea how long she has lived at all. We have no time frame. Yeah. She could have been alive with a mammoth for all we fucking know somehow.
Probably not, but yeah.
Listen.
Well, to be fair, the mammoths were around actually much more recently than we all think, so possibly.
Yes, maybe. It's true. But then she goes, but never a child conceived in love. And then she talks about, we made a baby, just her and me, to which I squeal.
Oh my God. This
literally one, squealed when I read that the first time.
That page, this page right here, I feel like I've seen it posted 1,000 times, and everybody who posts it is like, oh my God. It is a very sweet page about her and Destiny having a kid. And there's a very pregnant pause, pun intended, where Kurt, I mean, I feel like just his brain basically breaks, and he's like, but wait, you're both women?
Well, see, okay. I saw this pointed out by, I actually don't know who Mara was. So sorry if you're listening and this was you to point out. I really don't remember. Feel free to be like, hey, it was fucking me. But somebody pointed out that they were like, why is that what Kurt stuck on? Because I get his brain breaking in terms of this is a lot of information. And him, he's going to pick the most pertinent question to his mind. Why is the two women thing the first thing on his mind rather than, so wait, Destiny is my mother and you're because my other parent. And like, oh, that means these personalities. Because to me, Kurt loves unconditionally, right? He's not going to go, oh, but you're two women. And he's not going to worry about biology because he's also not a scientist. This is like a beast question. Question would be this.
So I disagree with you only because we can only suspend our belief. We can only suspend our disbelief so much, right? And we have not yet seen two women having a child together in the Marvel universe. So we have to assume that it is not something that happens. And this is not the case of one of them being a trans woman and still having like the capability of, you know, impregnating someone like Mystique. Again, her gender is very, who knows, it's fluid, whatever. But like, she's always been, like, she goes by she, her, and she's always presented femme. So the assumption has always been that she's a woman. So I think for him, it's not so much, it's not from a place of like, of bigotry or a place of like that. It's more of like, hold on a second. Like, I don't know much about science, but there's one fucking thing I know about science is that you need a sperm and an egg. So what do you bitches, where'd you get your sperm is basically where I can see his like mind going.
Sure.
I don't think it's unreasonable to be like that.
Oh no, I don't think it's unreasonable. I'm just saying for Kurt's character and for that to be his first question after all of that story so far, by the way, I find it hard to believe that's his first question. I don't think it's an inappropriate or wrong question in this case. I just don't necessarily agree that's his first, but you know, I think you make perfect sense. And I think there's a great point onto what you're saying in terms of he has to ask this so that Mystique can explain how this happened. Because us as the readers, we're asking that, right? We're going to be like, how did this work then? Because to our knowledge, she is just a shapeshifter. How can that even be possible for her? And so this is where in this conversation, she starts to explain. Well, number one, she doesn't really see or agree with the binary division. I mean, she knows it's there and she's like, fuck it, basically. So basically, she's non-binary, number one. And basically, the femme presentation has been thrown on her for years and pronouns and all that. It's just what people call her. And she doesn't care because she doesn't care in general.
Yeah, she just doesn't give a shit. You can call her whatever you want. Just don't call her late for dinner. Don't call her late for dinner.
Destiny! A cliff thrower. We can't do that anymore, guys. I'm sorry. The jokes are done with the cliff. We're done.
I'm never letting go of the yeet.
We're done!
There is a universe where she yeeted him. And we'll just hold it as that. So... just one last thing on this whole thing. The other thing too is sometimes, you know, when someone gets a lot of information at once, they just like their brain automatically picks one thing to like grab onto. And maybe that was because that was honestly out of everything, I think that's the most shocking thing to hear, regardless of who the mother is, like because that's shocking not just to him as it's his own identity. It's shocking. It's like I didn't know we could do that. Like, but when did women start being able to have babies without men? Because that does
surprise,
not look
bitch, men. We don't need men.
Got That's em. What I'm saying. Well, listen, they did it in Why the Last Man. And I think, I think it was okay. I don't know I forget what happened at the end of that book, but whatever. I'm just saying as a man, I could see him being like, whoa, hold on a second. You guys can do this for yourself.
Don't remind me that Kurt's a man. He's better than that. Don't remind me he's a man.
He's one of the good ones. He's one of the good ones. He's a good one. He's a.
Why would you do that?
I was going to mention a man actor, but I'm like, this will be here. This will be on the internet forever, and that they will eventually be canceled. And then they're going to be
LinkedIn, remember when you said that?
Yeah.
You can't do it. But then, you know, again, this conversation opens up the door to explain that. And she talks about how, you know, she can basically rewrite her own DNA to make that happen. And then the next page is a expert page from Dr. Nemesis's desk. And it fully explains that it needs to be understood now and going forward that Mystique is not just a, quote, shapeshifter, but she is a gene shifter, as he calls her. Basically, she can rewrite her DNA and RNA and all that at will, and sometimes even without thinking. So Mystique is more powerful than we all realize.
She is very powerful. Before we move forward, I just want to point out two things. She talks about the true binary division that doesn't, is not between the genders or sexes or sexualities. It's between those who are allowed to be who they wish and those who are denied that right. And I thought that was a really profound thing to, like, I thought that was, it was very profound. And I thought it also felt very inclusive. It's like, it's everybody who's not allowed to be who they are. That's what it is. It's the haves and the have nots. That's what matters. And I totally agree with that. And the one last thing I want to point out before we move forward is, she mentions that she was hoping for a daughter. And I think that's actually a much more important detail than we might have picked up on. Because I think Irene uses that information to get Raven later, the whole daughter thing.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of see that later.
Let's just keep going. Basically, they get caught, you know, that she dumps Azazel and tells him to get the fuck out of here, and he cries, and I love that. I mean, Azazel, all right, like, get out of here, Azazel. We don't want you anymore. You're done. You're done. Go back to Dark X-Men and be whatever. Be a dark beast. I don't give a shit. And then she's, like, pretending to have a belly while Irene is, you know, having a belly, obviously. And then all of a sudden, they get caught by the Baron, and they fucking...
And, you know, I love this part for Mystique. This was a very good Mystique moment, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are like, she was in characters, holy shit, and that's fine, whatever. But this moment was great. She jumps on the man, turns into her, like, true form, quote, her blue form, slits his throat and says, see me. And I'm like, fucking damn, if I saw that shit in a movie, I would get chills, especially if the right actor, like, acted that scene perfectly. Oh, my God.
I can't believe you skipped over him calling them strumpets and sapphist perverts. I mean,
I thought you skipped over it, so I was going to leave it alone. But yes, they call her sapphist perverts, which honestly, good for us. Like, I'm happy to be a part of that community. Thank you.
I'm just saying, like, Christian, like, you're good. Like, those are some SAT words, you know? like when he insults you, he does it intelligently. He does it very intelligently. But he's dead now, so we don't give a shit about him. And once he's dead, now Raven and Irene are basically living in, like, married bliss. They're, like, you know, the baby's growing inside Irene. Raven still keeps the belly because it's this, like, that thing I thought was kind of weird, but I get it. It's, like, the symbolic idea of they're both carrying him. They're both giving birth to him, even though, you know, it's not Raven who goes into labor for 22 hours. But, you know, we're getting there right now. So, yeah, so.
You're like, oh, shit, it's here.
It's here. So, yeah, so, you know. Irene is in labor for 22. Like, Irene basically knows everything that's going to happen, Raven says. Like, she knows she's going to be labor for 22 hours. She knows that she's going to be bedridden. And that's another thing. How is she bedridden, but she ran away? But
listen, again, what did I say last time, everybody? When we get to this, no matter how good it is, there will still be things that don't work. There will still be what the fucks and what does this mean? We're still gonna have some of these, okay?
But guys? Listen, this is a solid B+, A- B+. You know, like, it's.
I think a B+ is solid, but we'll get to that. We can hear final scores, but yeah. So, you know, Irene gives birth, and you know she's gone through all this hell. Which, again, in case anybody that listens does not know, pregnancy literally kills. It can destroy your body and all these things. It can also be a beautiful thing, but please don't over romance it. I swear to fucking God, there's a reason I personally do not want to give birth. I'm gonna say that right now. No intention, -100. But they get this little baby Kurt out of it, and she goes, I knew what he was. Not dead, not deformed, perfect and mine.
That is such a cute scene. I love that. And yeah, the doctor is like, oh, he's blue and he's deformed and, like, I think he's dead. And yeah, Raven takes him and she decides that, like, you know, if he's going to see her for the first time, it's going to be her in her natural form.
And this was the page I squealed at the most when I read it this morning. I turned to it and I saw them all, like, cuddled up in bed together, and I was like, ah! And listen, I know everybody's like, but Mystique isn't loving and all this stuff. And you know what? You have a super valid point. And I mean that seriously. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. You know, I probably sound like it. But I squealed because I like to see a happy moment.
I agree. And
for these guys, like,
I disagree that Mystique cannot show love to people. I think she can show love to people. It's just that she's very choosy about who she does because she's been burned. This woman has been burned a lot in her life. Let's be real. Like, she, you know, so. Then, of course, we have the angry villagers coming to get them. Destiny is like, girl, you got to get him out of here. Don't worry about me. I've seen it. I'll get out. But you get him out and then we'll figure it out. Right. So they come with their pitchforks and their torches because, you know, it's 1797 in Germany at this time, I guess. I don't know. And Mystique realizes that because they can't find her and the baby, they're just going to go kill the mother. And so she's like, I got to go save Destiny. She leaves. And again, this is. All right, you're a new mother, but, like, who the fuck leaves a baby in the woods? I don't know. That for me is like, okay, all right.
See, here's the thing too. Like, I think they obviously wanted to choose something other than the cliff, which I'm in full support of. We can joke all day that we'll never forget the cliff and all that, but I'm in full support of something else that makes sense, because even if Mystique isn't the best mom and all this stuff, she would still want to see the child in some way. So even if there are people that will disagree with how her affection towards Kurt at this time was written, I understand you're going to feel, you know, you're going to have those reservations. That's fine. We're going to see the character differently. But yeah, like, this is the first kid she had out of love in a relationship with someone she actually loved. And, you know, this child kind of represents that. So I like that, you know, it still is, she does something that's still ridiculous and reckless, like Mystique would. That's not smart, like a mother, like you said, Lisa. It's not smart at all. She just leaves him hanging out at the bomb tree. It says 5 minutes. I'll be right back. And then,
It is November in Germany. I just want to point that out. There is snow on the ground. That baby is wearing a blanket at best. So, anyway.
Well, and one thing I don't get here. So she basically comes back, and after she realizes Irene is gone, she comes back out to find Kurt. Kurt's gone, and she tells this part to Kurt, and then the next panel is Kurt looking devastated. I'm like, why are you devastated? Last you knew, she threw you off a cliff. This is a huge upgrade. You should not be devastated right now, sir.
I think he's not devastated out of anything other than empathy. I think like he is an incredibly empathetic person. He is somebody who is very, you know, he's open with his own emotions. And I think like he sees someone in front of him who, like, regardless of everything, regardless of the amount of time she's tried to kill him, regardless of the amount of time she's tried to kill his friends, his family, whatever, she's his mother. And he's known her as his mother for a long time at this point. And she is in tremendous pain talking about his childhood. And I can imagine like that for him is this whole situation is just a very, like, he's got a lot of feelings. So I think like his sadness has less to do with like the situation and more just like he's sad for her. He's sad for her and for what she went through. Yeah. And he's still convinced she doesn't know who he is. And she's like, bitch, I know who you are. I've known who you are this whole time. Why do you think I came to New York? Do you think I came to New York? Why do you think I came to New York to discover where my baby I lost was in Germany? Do you think, I mean, I'm not stupid. And he's like trying to push her. Like, I want to have, you know, like let's talk about this and let's do things. And I really like what she says here, where she's like, I'm not that mother anymore. And you are not that baby. And I get that. I get where she's coming from with that, where it's just like, we can't go back 3 years and relitigate that. Like, we can figure something else out, but we can't relitigate all that. Like, that's just too painful. Yeah. So Mystique does manage to track Destiny down 5 years later. Now, I just want to point out that when we left her, when Kurt disappeared, she was anguished. And it felt to me like she blamed herself a lot. You know, obviously she's like pissed off at Destiny because Destiny just disappears. But she did, I think she blamed herself for like losing the baby. I don't think she realizes at this point what Destiny has orchestrated.
Be a mix of both. I think that's the thing too. Like, Mystique probably has a lot of conflicting emotions about all of this based on her logical information, then also how pissed she is, how sad she is.
Yeah. But like Destiny to me comes off as so callous and manipulative in this issue. Like, I get that she has her visions and she uses them to do what she believes is best for whoever she is rooting for at that time, right? So basically, you know, Raven shows up and Destiny's like, okay, before you start, that little girl over there, her name's Anne Marie. Someone's about to abduct her. You've got 15 minutes to go save her life, and then we'll take her in, and then that will be the daughter that, like, you wanted. Remember how you wanted a daughter, Raven? Remember how you wanted a daughter, but I gave you that stupid son? Well, guess what? I got you a daughter now.
Yeah, here's the thing. I very much disagree with making Destiny the villain in Raven's story, right? Because she's still a villain. Like, she may have intentions that I might agree with as a reader, but then the way she executes it aren't well. And I think that's what's happening here. She has all the right intentions, but I agree with you that the way she is written, it doesn't come off of, oh, she's well intentioned. Here's why it didn't work. But again, she was well intentioned, guys. It's like, oh, she had this intention, but guess what? She fucked everything up and Raven's pissed at her and everything's terrible. And it doesn't add up to how in the present time or most recent, where Immortal X-Men, they're reminding each other, yeah, we're immortal. And even though we've been through stuff, we're on the same page. Like, it doesn't make sense other than maybe, you know, this was earlier in their relationship, I guess. And so now that they learned from this stuff, they grew to the point of Immortal X-Men where they can actually rely on each other as much as possible and have that hope and belief again. But yeah, this paints Destiny as such a villain to Raven in their relationship. And like, she did all this just because, fuck it, she saw a vision. And I'm like, that's not it. Like, Destiny, yes, she has to react to her vision. She doesn't have a choice, which is a huge burden she has. But again, it's a burden. Destiny doesn't like to do this. She doesn't like to manipulate. She feels she has to.
See, yeah, I'm not saying that she enjoys it. I'm just saying that, like, Destiny convinced Mystique to have a child with her with the full knowledge that they were not going to keep that child. But Destiny did not explain that to Mystique. Destiny allowed her to think for the 9 months it took to grow that baby, she allowed Mystique to think that they were going to have a happy family and they were going to be in their German castle that they killed the count for or killed the baron for. And they would like have everything they needed forever. And like they would have their little family, just the three of them. you know, like, and just, it would be beautiful. Like, that's what Destiny sold to Mystique when she got Mystique to agree to give, like, to impregnate her. And
right.
Destiny knew that was never going to happen. She knew that was never going to happen. And so right. that's where I'm coming from with it, where it's like, that's what makes her villainous to me, is she, you know, like, Raven is not someone, we know this, Raven is not someone who loves easily. She's not someone who gives her love easily. And like, she's very guarded. And so, you know, this is the woman she loves, the woman she's married, the woman she's given her whole life to. And that woman now wants to give her a child. And she's, you know, very iffy about it at first, but Destiny convinces her. Destiny is the root of all the trauma. Like, Destiny could have found a way to get Mystique on board with the idea without being so deceitful.
I'm not saying you're wrong. You're completely right. That's how she is written. I'm saying Spurrier, who wrote her that way in this issue, I believe he's doing a disservice, because yes, there's a better way she could have handled this. But if you remember Mortal X-Men recently that Kieran Gillen wrote, okay, where Destiny actually has to do the same thing because she sees a vision and she's like, I don't know if Raven will be here or not. Right. And so she's not trying to, but the way Gillian writes her in that issue, and even in current time, she's still having to do something similar to this. It's not that I'm saying, oh my God, she's fucking terrible for doing this to wife. She wants to do this, which is what I get off of here. She is intentionally manipulating because all she cares about is the vision she saw. That's not how she works. She's sad and hurt that she has to do these things. And in Mortal X-Men, I got that written. I understood that by how she was written in that, and what she's doing in a very similar situation in terms of being manipulative and deceitful to Mystique, but not wanting to hear. And just looks like, you know, she thought Mystique thinks you're in love, you know, she thought they were in love, but then Destiny did all this shit. And now she's just, you know, it was all about the vision, to the point where we get to the next point where they go to Xavier and they're completely on opposite ends. And again, you're completely right. Destiny's the villain. I don't agree with how it's written here. That's so rude to her. She's a full character. Those visions are a burden on her. And they're a burden because she does love Mystique, and she never would want to deceive her, but she's forced to.
I don't know. The thing about Destiny is we don't have a lot of canon about Destiny. So there's a lot you can do with her because she was dead for a very long time.
But we have Immortal X-Men, which is canon, in a similar situation where she is sad she has to do that to her wife. So I have enough canon to transfer.
I'm not saying she's not sad to do it to her wife. I'm saying that, like, just because you're sad you hurt your wife doesn't mean you didn't hurt your wife. And for sure. Maybe, like, and you could have found a way to not hurt your wife. And honestly, the big thing she tells Raven is that the whole reason that they have this child is because she sees that Azazel is going to become, now this is something really important, I think. She says that he'll be a monster and evil, ultimate evil they can't stop, and he would be the end to us. So I took that as Destiny is like, oh, he's gonna, like, it will end their relationship somehow. That's how I took it.
So and then what's she supposed to do if she literally sees the visions of what's going to happen and she has choices? She picked the choice with the best option.
Here's what she does. She says, hey girl, Raven, listen, there's this fucking red guy. He's going to come and destroy the whole world and we won't be together anymore. And all we have to do is have a blue baby and then give him to Margali.
But doing that changes the vision because Raven knows now that changes things in a timeline of anything.
Yes.
So that could change the result now that Raven knows the plan. That's what sucks about all this. But I get what you're saying, and you're completely right in terms of, like, yeah, of course we want her to find a better way. But I think, yeah, like, you're completely correct. And let's write that more three-dimensional for her.
Yes. And but, so, yeah, they go to see Xavier, and they go to see Xavier basically to have their mind wiped. They're just like, we can't deal with this. Like, basically, the reason I bring up the whole rogue of it all and, like, you know, the daughter situation is, again, this is me not having the best read on Destiny and seeing her for more villainous than maybe others would. Like, she baby traps Raven. She baby traps her. She, like, brings her home. She brings her over. She introduces her to the daughter that Raven always wanted. And then, like, after a couple weeks and they're all sitting together and they're all happy family, she's like, oh, by the way, here's what actually happened with our son. And I think that's why they end up going to, like, because Raven could have just left her. Raven could have just decided, fuck this. Like, you took my child from me. Like, you did it on purpose. Fuck you. I don't want to be with you. But they stayed. They want to stay together. They want to keep their family together. They want to raise their daughter. So they ask Xavier to basically just like take away their memories. Right? Irene wants like totally done, like off the top done. And Raven, all she wants is she wants to know that that's her son. She doesn't care what memory she has, but she just needs to know that it's her child. She can't forget that that's her son. And Xavier warns them and is like, listen, like, you know, if I do that, you know, you might come up with, you know, memories that are worse than the truth. And she's like, just fucking do it. Stop mansplaining memory to me. All right. And, you know, her memories ended up with her abandoning him, throwing him off the cliff into the waterfall, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's just losing her mind because she loves her baby.
Yeah. I mean, well, and right before that, we see that, like, when I really don't like this panel because it doesn't make sense to me character-wise. Like, Mystique's choking Destiny, like, and okay, not in a fun way, guys, as you into it. This is a bad kind of choking. And I'm like, even if she was mad at her, storm off, leave her, like you said, if you want to go that far with the character, that's fine. But she loves Destiny so fully, so holy, and she would not do that to Destiny. I'm sorry. I'm not on board with that in any way. She would leave Destiny. She could yell at her. She could do all these things, but she would not lay a hand on her in that way.
I would like to hear from the parents out there. I want to hear from the parents. I'm not a parent. You're not a parent. I have nieces who, like, I look at and I love. And, but because I actually agree with that. I think she would do that because she loves Destiny. Destiny is the love of her life, but that was her baby. That was her son. That was that. And like the thing about here's the thing about a new baby. A new baby isn't just about having the baby. A new baby is all, it's about bringing together two people. It's about creating a family. It's about a legacy and a life that like Mystique had 9 months living in this bliss of this idea of a future that she thought was going to come with this child that she created with the love of her life. And the love of her life knew the whole time it wasn't going to happen. I don't blame Mystique for getting that fucking pissed. I don't blame her. Because again, and Mystique thought this was a baby born of love, but on Destiny's end, it was a baby born of duty. It was a baby born of what she needed to do for, and not to say there was no love. I'm not saying there's no love. I'm just saying that like she, for Mystique, it was all about love. It was about creating a child of love. For Destiny, it was not about that. So I don't blame Mystique for being like, you told me we were going to fucking have a baby together. We were going to love him. We were going to raise him. And now you're telling me he's some fucking tool of the cosmos? No. So I don't, but the thing is it's not enough to break them up, obviously, because they go to Xavier, they get themselves wiped. And now, you know, Mystique and Kurt end up hugging at the end and they're going to make up.
Which is sweet. But yeah, sweet. I don't know. Like, that's the thing with Mystique and Destiny. I don't like how that was written in terms of Destiny only doing it for duty. Like, I think, again, Destiny would be telling Mystique because she did love her. She did want a family with her, too. But the sad thing is that there's that gray area where she gets those visions and she has to abide by them. She doesn't know how else not to. And so it was an and, right? It's not that she didn't do it out of love and it was only duty. But that's the problem, is that the way it's written, you're absolutely correct. It is written that Destiny only did out of duty. And I completely disagree with that. That goes completely against their relationship, in my opinion. But
the other thing to consider is that this is told completely from Mystique's point of view. Like, she is it is only told from her point of view. So she doesn't know what's going on in Destiny's mind. She doesn't know, like, we don't know either, you know? So I can't imagine we're not going to have Destiny address this soon. So we'll get to hear from her and what she has to say about the whole situation.
I don't think we will, to be honest, actually. I think they are selling this as a one-shot off. They wanted their collector's item, which they've solicited as such. And they're like, this fixes everything. Done. And that's my criticism. So I am very grateful that it is written the way it is. I was ecstatic, even more so than I am now this morning. There's definitely things I would have liked to see differently in it that could have been written better and that would make more sense for all the characters involved, not just a few. But yeah, I'm happy we got that. I'm going to keep in my head as my canon that it was out of love, not just for duty. And that even though Raven was upset at first to hear it, eventually Irene explained it to her, heard her out, or even sat in it for a while, even if it was 5 years. And then they made up and got to a point where they are an immortal X-Men, where their love is eternal per their own words. To me, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, their love is eternal per their own words, but eternal love is not going to be like, it's, there's going to be ebbs and flows and there's going to be ups and downs. I think it's impossible for Destiny not to address this, because it's, I don't see a way forward in Mystique and Destiny's relationship unless Destiny addresses this. Like, I just, like, I don't see how Mystique can just go back to being, like, after having this crazy reveal and learning all of this, how does Mystique now go and back to sharing a bed with her without having a discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see it addressed, but again, I'm very interested to see who would write that, because I wouldn't want Spurrier writing it. In fact, I'm going to be honest, even though we got this, I don't credit Spurrier for getting the reveal we're getting now, which is that Dusty and Mystique are his biological parents. Marvel editorial got their heads off their asses. That's why it's happening. The original writer who wanted to do it, Chris Claremont, was denied decades ago by Marvel editorial. So I'm not giving Spurrier a, oh my God, you saved us. No. But thank you for writing what you have. I do so appreciate it. But I do think that there's definitely, I'm interested to see who would write that conversation between Destiny and Mystique they talked about, because I think you actually make a great point. Now, this is what we have now. This is the canon. Something has to be done with it. I'd like to see Kieran Gillen write it, because I think he's written their relationship as it is currently. So now, poor him and poor other X-Riders are forced with the task of taking what has been done in this issue with their past and their relationship back then and all that. And now they have to make it make sense with how the fuck did they get to a point where today, last we knew at least, they were on the same page. And like you said, now there's all this new information. Things have to be discussed. So I'm interested. Yeah, I don't want it to be terrible, though.
No. Well, here's the thing. You can't do something this big. You can't do this big of a change just to more than one character, because what characters are affected by this? Destiny, Mystique, Nightcrawler, Rogue, Azazel. That's like five characters whose backstories have been touched by this story. You can't tell that story without editorial being involved and like everybody else on the team knowing about it. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's no way that Kieran is like in the dark and being like, oh fuck, what did he do with Destiny? Oh, now I got to write about this. They are all on the same page. I'm sure of that. And I do want to point out, it was also Claremont's intention for Rogue to be their biological child as well. But
right.
I'm okay if that doesn't happen.
Right. And, you know, we're not getting that. So sorry, Rogue fans, if that's what you wanted.
I mean, who knows? Maybe in 20 years we will get that. Who knows? I mean, Rogue is overdue for like a real origin story, because her origin story was
There's lots of things in origin stories. Yeah. But that's it, guys. So we got it. The Destiny and Mystique are biological parents, and that Azazel is garbage. It's official. It's not just our blatant head cannons forever. So that's the good news.
Yes, we got it, guys. We did it. We need to get Nocturne back in here.
Yep. So Nocturne manifested. Nocturne's next.
Manifest that. I enjoyed it. Pardon me. I enjoyed the issue. I literally could not sleep last night. So like at midnight, I read it because I was like, I might as well since I'm awake. And then I read it again. And then I read it like four more times today. So I do enjoy it quite a bit. And it's way ahead of its time, or it's something that was way ahead of its time, but we're there now. And you know, two women can make a baby, even if Kurt is surprised by it.
Yeah, so. absolutely. And so we asked on Twitter if you guys had any reactions you wanted to share in the comments. And they are spoilers, of course, but you guys, if you're here, you're already past the spoiler.
Yeah, well, I mean, so if you
RIP,
yeah.
You.
Yeah, by the way, spoiler alert.
Craig Lincoln said, my biggest reaction other than elation was mild confusion as to in what world does Azazel kill Cap, Wolverine, Storm, etc. and conquer the world just because he had a kid. Secondary reaction, a weird Azazel baby plot in the future Kurt has to deal with might be cool. Maybe. I don't think we need anything. I don't think we need Azazel involved in anything anymore.
Azazel can rot.
But if you want to write that AU, go for it. Go for it, Craig. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. If you want to do it, do it.
I want to say two things. Wait, read that question again. Sorry.
Oh, the first part of it was confusion as to in what world does Azazel kill Cap, Wolverine, Storm, etc., and conquered the world just because he had a kid.
Got it. Okay. So actually, it was not, he didn't conquer the world because he had a kid. He conquered the world because he didn't have the kid. So the idea was to have Kurt because Kurt would be a distraction. Like,
he's the light in the darkness, something like that.
Yeah. And like, Kurt would be a distraction to him that he would have to fight in order to, like, it's a whole thing. It's so on men, like, to be obsessed with their seed. So
yeah,
that makes sense to me.
But to be fair, a man also wrote this issue. So
I mean, listen, a man's written 90% of what is still.
All right. You're true. You're very right. And it just, it wasn't your comment that made me do that. It was just, men.
I know. Do you have any more? Wait, yeah, go ahead.
Kate Kamen Haycox, if I'm saying that wrong, I'm so sorry, friend, said they made a little thread on my thoughts. But long and short is, I love the retcon, but not the execution. In parentheses, Mystique gives up the year-long con so her baby won't feel alone. Really, Mystique. Kurt has no reaction, and I hate Ghost Bamf.
So, yeah, Ghost Bamf, I'm not digging. We talked about that earlier. First of all, Kamen, thank you, by the way. You posted the link to the article that I talked about when we talked about Giant Size X-Men. In the German episode when we talked about, you know, the different things. She found the article, or he or they, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce, apologies. They found the article that has all the information about the X-Men being from different countries. Anyway,
yep.
But going back to this question, I don't know, what do you think, Lauren?
Well, I'll read a little bit of the little thread they also posted on it. Mystique being made more loving and matronly seems wrong for her character. I do get that. It's hard. Again, kind of like Lisa said, with the way it was written, they definitely changed stuff to her character, and that from the beginning, she enjoyed the pregnancy with her wife. She was really invested in the child. So that's a huge change to her character. I understand the, like, what the fuck is this? So I think that's valid. Kurt never really seemed to react. Like, he was unnecessarily confused at the biology, but never reckoned. That's who it was earlier. It was you. But never reckoned with having a different mother, not being a demon, or that he was existing because of Destiny's machinations. I can't say that word.
So, you know what I want to comment on here is, I think that we mistake this issue as a Kurt issue, and it's not. It's a Mystique issue.
And I think that's the confusion. See, because that's why I also, kind of like you said earlier when we were talking, these changes affect multiple characters, not just Kurt, and not even just Mystique. They affect so many characters. And so doing this in one issue and trying to retcon all of this, and you can tell this issue is 100% intended to retcon the Draco. This issue didn't just come out and by accident or by, it just worked out that this retcons this stuff. This issue was created to retcon this. And they did it in one issue, one fell swoop, on purpose. And so I think that is a huge disservice, because we can't, you know, actually go into things like Kurt having more reaction. You're absolutely right. There's no room for Kurt to react in this, because all of it is just Mystique in her own head. And that's a disservice to retconning all of this and retelling the story. I think the show had been at least a 5-issue limited, if anything, because then you could go more into that. But with how jam-packed this issue already is, credit to them, there is a lot in this already. There isn't room to put in more reaction for him. And that's not fucking fair.
So here's what I think. Technically, Uncanny Spider-Man is part of all of this. So it is kind of like a 5 or 6 issue thing.
They don't touch the retcon there at all, though. It's a completely different retcon, story they're doing.
All of the stuff with Mystique comes from Uncanny Spider-Man. I'm okay with it being a one-shot, because I have faith that they're going to keep going. They're going to address it more. Like, I have a hard time. And again, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm just super optimistic because it's the first time Marvel's given me what I've asked for ever. But I just don't believe that there's just so much hanging from it. And the thing is that this has gotten a lot of buzz. Maybe it's just me because I like hang out in Nightcrawler spaces, but like everybody is talking about this. Everybody is talking about this issue. So I think they're going to have to address it more. I mean, the fact that, like, if Destiny was dead, that's one thing, but Destiny's alive. So there's no reason that it's not going to get addressed later. So we'll just see what happens. And we still have one more issue of Uncanny Spider-Man to find out what happens there. You know, and yeah.
I would have a lot more hope, and I want to have hope like you, Lisa, if it was confirmed that Spurrier was stepping away from writing Kurt. Because, listen, glad we got this issue and all that, but I'm fucking done with Spurrier writing Kurt. Girl. Get the fuck away from Kurt. I'm tired of playing nice. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. My patience is gone. It is out the window. We got to move on. We need someone else. Gillen, what do I need to pay you? Because you know how to write him. You proved it in one issue. He had one issue and he proved it to me.
I'm just saying, I don't disagree with you, but like, I lived through the Draco. I lived through the Austin run. Spurrier is not that bad.
Depends on who you ask. There's a lot of people that like, and that's their own opinions. And again, everybody's entitled to it. But like, I'm on the board now of like, okay, I'm done. I played nice for, you know, three series now that are about to wrap up. This one shot, he got the, it frustrates me. And again, this isn't directly his fault, I don't think, unless I find out new information, right? But he got the privilege and the honor to be the one to retcon the Draco. Do you know how much of an honor that actually is in terms of he gets to say, I fixed it. You're welcome, everybody. Even though, again, I'm not fucking praising him for doing what we've already wanted, what somebody came up with far before him. And we were just waiting our Marvel editorial to get their heads out of their asses to let someone do it.
Yes.
That's all it was. And he got the privilege to do it. I think he needs to just, go while you're on a high note. Go.
That's fair. That's fair. He has not had the best, you know, record with Kurt, but it's not been the worst. He gave us Weaponless Zen and all that stuff. Like, I'm saying, like,
it's, I don't know.
I'm just saying, listen, girl, I've been in this fandom for 25 years now, and I'm gonna tell you, I've seen so much worse.
And I can still want better. I think you're right. And I can still say I want better for my boy, which I do. But again, I'm ecstatic that we got what we got. I actually wanted to say one more thing with Kamen's comment here, because I liked it. You know, they said, I wish I had focused more on the character than the plot. And I think that's the beauty of comics, is when we can especially focus on the characters and building them. And that's what we're all here for, to talk about Kurt as a character and how much we love him.
Yeah. So someone actually called this the opposite of One More Day, which I thought was kind of funny.
That's interesting. I actually enjoy that. Yeah.
And then someone was like, well, is that why he's Spider-Man? And I'm like, oh my God, my mind is blown right now. Was this all
planned? That's hilarious, actually. That's fucking hilarious.
Right?
I didn't think of that, but yeah, damn, I guess.
It was someone in the Cerebro Discord was mentioning it. And I was like, oh my God, my mind is effing blown.
That's funny.
Oh, someone also said that Kurt had no good parental figures. What are you talking about? Mark Ollie was okay.
We can get to that episode later. We'll decide who's the not the worst parental figure for Kurt.
Oh my God. Who? Okay, wait.
No, we got to save it for an episode.
Because, like, here's the thing. I would have maybe said Destiny because she hasn't done anything. But after this issue, it's not Destiny. It's definitely not Destiny.
You got Raven, Destiny, Azazel, I guess, kind of counts because he almost was. Gross. You've got Xavier, like, obviously, as a father figure.
Ew. Okay, that was another thing. Okay, that was another thing. I love that they brought Xavier into the end of it. And of course, I mean, it's a very easy way to fix the whole thing and say, oh, yeah, they don't remember. But I love it because the Draco ended with Kurt calling Xavier his father.
Yeah, right.
And I'm so curious to know how Kurt's going to feel about the fact that Xavier was so instrumental in him never knowing who his parents were for most of his life. And I also say, so Xavier mentions that he's going to wipe his own mind, which I question whether a psychic can do that. But again, who knows? Do you think he actually wipes his own mind, or do you think he still knows? I think he still knows.
I mean, he's the one that, I mean, they didn't even ask him to. He said, I want to wipe my own mind because fuck this shit. So I think he did, because again, that's clearing up the whole, why didn't Xavier ever tell Kurt?
Because Xavier's an asshole. Xavier's a jerk. That's why.
Fair, but again, they're still walking that line with Xavier as a character, right? They're still like, yeah, he's done shitty things. But remember, he does it because he actually cares about mutant kind. And we're all like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Okay, another reason I'm going to say that he does know and he didn't wipe his mind is that this exact same thing happened in X-Men Evolution. He knew Mystique was Kurt's father well before, and he did not tell him. And like he specifically did not tell him. Like, and like Kurt even asked, like, oh, is that my mother? Do you know? Like, it was, I don't know. Did you ever watch X-Men Evolution?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, remember the episode, the Shadowed Past episode where you find out that Mystique is Kurt's mother?
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Like, Rogue has a dream and she dreams about baby Kurt because she touched Mystique. And when Xavier looks into Rogue's memories, he sees it's Mystique, but he tells Kurt, oh, I didn't see a thing. I couldn't see anything. It was too shadowy, whatever. But he knows the whole time. And like, it ends up with Kurt in a really dangerous position. So I don't know that Sisberger would have known that story because it's kind of, you know, 20 years old and from a cartoon, but it makes sense to me. Like, Xavier is very good at keeping secrets from the people who need to know facts.
Sure. But if a telepath gets in his head somehow and accidentally pulls out, or if Rogue touches him and pulls that out by accident, like, I really feel like that he didn't care enough about it, to be fair, because he's an asshole. And he's just like, yeah, if anybody ever asked me, I don't want to be held accountable for this. I don't want to be involved. Y'all are a fucking mess. Wipe it.
Has Rogue ever touched Xavier? I can't think of any time she's ever absorbed.
I don't know either. That's possibly a question.
That is a question. It would be great if it was Rogue who was the one who found out that Xavier knew the whole time. And then the way she finds out is like, whoa, wait, did my moms adopt me to save their marriage? Like, am I that baby?
Oh, good God. Oh, God.
That's kind of what it was, though, because like Raven was about to kill Destiny and Destiny's like, oh, but didn't you want a daughter? Because I found one for you. I found you a daughter.
Yeah, I hate it. I still don't like that canon, but whatever. It is what it is.
I love it. I love it. Here's my thing. I like it messy.
You love reality TV. That's why.
I do. I love Real Housewives. So the messier, the better. Because you know what? Sometimes my life sucks. Sometimes I don't want to wake up in the morning. And to see messy shit happening to other people, even if they're fake, love it. Love it. Living for it. Well, I think an hour is enough time to talk about this, although we could talk forever. I've literally been in Discord all day talking about this. So clearly I can talk forever about it, but we're going to give your ears a little rest because it's been a lot from us this week. 3 episodes in 1 week.
You're welcome.
Yes. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy holidays. Everything.
Happy holidays. Happy, Satan's birth. I don't know. Is Satan's birthday this
happy
week?
Death of the Draco Day? Let's go.
Happy Death of the Draco Day. Yes.
New holiday.
Oh, I love it. This should become new. Okay. 11/29 every year in November, it's going to be big because 11/11 is Kurt's birthday and 11/29 is Death of the Draco Day. So,
yeah. Bonfire, baby.
Exactly. All right, girl. Tell them where they can find you.
On the everything at friendly MBHCBI. Bother me there. Yeah, if you're on my team about the fact that this is not Destiny and Mystique, even in the rough patch, I swear to God, please bother me about it so I can talk and agree with you. Okay, thanks.
And if you are on the side of this is messy as shit and I'm living for it, come on. I'm living for the mess. I've seen every episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey. So I live for the mess. But yeah, find us at simplyamazingpod.com. You'll find all our socials there. We're on Blue Sky. I think Lauren also, I've been seeing you've been putting all of our links in the show notes. So if you see the show notes, you'll see links. That's awesome. Thank you, Lauren. She's so good, guys. She's so good. I mean, you know, she doesn't have the right, you know, opinions on mess, but you know, she's still good.
Hey, listen, who's got Nightcrawler behind her right now? Me.
Okay. I'm like, where is there a Nightcrawler?
To be fair, Lisa has Dolly Parton behind her. So that is a great substitute.
And Homer group. And Homer Simpson.
Yeah, I can't say that's a great substitute, but Dolly is.
And then there's Andy Warhol right there. That's Andy Warhol. There he is right there. So I have a very nice art collection. If anyone likes art, let me know. I've got a whole Instagram dedicated to my art collection.
I was going to say that's her job. So.
Well, it is for now. Anyway. Thank you guys all for coming. Again, simplyamazingpod.com. All of our socials are there. Our socials are also in the show notes. Come find it there. We had our little wrap up for Spotify and I was so touched. I cried. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You guys love us. I was like, Sally Field, like you like us. You really, really like us. Thank you guys so much. This has been such a fun time doing this podcast we're 2 years and 2 months now we're doing this podcast. So
holy shit, really?
Can you believe it?
I fucking can't. Shit. We need to do something, I guess.
We'll do something. I mean, we're coming close to 100 episodes. So we actually, I think we're close to 100 episodes with some of our intermissions. But like as far as official episodes, Yeah, we're like close to 100, so maybe we'll have to figure out something cool to do for our 100th.
Let us know if there's anything you'd like to see us do for our 100th ep. I'm thinking we should bring back some of our guests from the past, but we'll see.
We could bring back some guests. If you want that. We could also, maybe our 100th should be a live.
I love doing lives when we can.
I think we should do a live for our 100th, and it can be a dress-up live.
I think we should pop a poll. We'll pop a poll.
Yes.
You guys can tell us what you like. Okay.
Exactly. We can do a dress-up live. We can do like a live tour of my Nightcrawler museum upstairs. We can do a live tour of Lauren's Nightcrawler museum behind her. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But we're going to do something cool for our 100th. We'll let you know. And if we don't end up doing something cool for our 100th, we're still going to make a podcast. So whatever. Yeah, we'll figure
it
out.
Of course.
But yeah, find us on our socials. Find us everywhere. Twitter, Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram. We're there. We're everywhere. We're most active on Twitter. I will say that. We're most active on Twitter. That's the best place to find us. But if you're not on Twitter and you're somewhere else and you want us to be there, let us know. And I'll, like, if I know people are there, I'll be there. It's just Twitter is where everyone seems to be right now.
Yeah, everybody's still somehow there. So we're all just like waiting for it to explode one
day.
We're
just lazy. It's lazy. I mean, who wants to go build something? Like, whatever.
Migration is hard, guys.
Listen, ask the ducks. They know.
Seriously.
Ask those. There's a whole movie about it now with freaking.
I know. I want to go see it. It looks cute.
It does look kind of cute. It does look. And who is it? Kumali? I can't say his name. Kumanji.
Like, I know who you're talking about.
He plays the main duck. Yeah, he's from the Eternals. Yeah. He plays the main duck.
Yeah.
For those of you listening again, we love having you listen. We love hearing your questions. We love hearing your comments. If you ever want to come and be a guest, just let us know. We have a little form you can fill out on our website. And if we don't get back to you right away, it's because I keep forgetting to check the email. So just tweet us and let us know and we'll come find you. And if you are out there looking at your parents and thinking to yourself, are you my parents or not? I mean, who cares? You're just simply amazing.